Power is haunted by the unknown. Its obsessive need for control may be its defining quality. Its need for an order that it has created and is therefore predictable. That need bespeaks a horrible fear of being out of control. And of course, in setting for itself the task of total suppression of all humans on the planet, sets itself up to fear ad infinitum, as the result is war on us without cessation, for we will ever resist suppression. Unless power intercepts us young, which is why they plant their interceptors among particularly the young. Please listen again to this excerpt, and I put this excerpt on the website, from our March 16th, 2014 show, in which we examine the questions raised by the event Rage Against the Machine. And I'm going to repeat some of those words. So claiming voice in a world where power seeks to name us, that's resistance. That's being disobedient. But then what more is needed? Is the question that we pondered when we read George Eliot's quote about command exists, but with obedience. When I ponder that quote and Joel's book, the book Rage Against the Machine, extended to conceive power globally. Command, that word command. Why is disobedience alone not enough to expose, confront, and engage successfully with global power? For if it was, then Rage Against the Machine, surely, along with all those others, with equal determination, if not more, all those large spirits who refuse to settle, who refused obedience as their course in life, like Bob Marley and Paul Robeson before him, also musicians who set out with intention to change the world, going head to head with power. All that immensity of spirit would have done it, would have seen the ins and outs of power and lit that necessary global resistance. So why wasn't it enough? In a show over a year ago, we said, while thinking through that poem by George Eliot, that our choice can't be disobedience unless our obedience comes to our awareness. And I don't mean those words in a simplistic sense or a superficial sense, obedience and disobedience. Because there's a sense in which raging without analysis, without understanding the true nature of the state is obedience in a way. We'll explore this as we go along. That we can't choose disobedience unless our obedience comes to our awareness. And that means that the state becomes a question. But Joel McIver's book helped me see that the conclusion that the state itself becomes a question is not self-evident. That's why Alice Miller's book, For Your Own Good, has been suppressed. That there is much confusion about what is the state, because of all those buffers between the people and power. And that this is precisely the borderland where dissent gets waylaid, gets intercepted. In this borderland of confusion. Because marketing human beings is such an unnatural thing, a con imposed on us, in fact. A version of you take the Bible, we'll take the land. Power knows it must, to sweeten the deal, flatter youth, to think that only the very cleverest among them will grasp the importance of it. of what is obvious diminishment of the human. Well, only the cleverest will grasp its supposed importance to the overall development of the species. What the very act of this does, as we learned from Karl Popper, is establish a divide. Do you see why I'm saying this is an invisible bias? That in each one of us, individually, because we've been atomized, this divide is reared into us, trained into us automatically by the simple operation of the system as it's set up. What the very act of this does, that is to say, dangling the carrot, you want to be among the smart ones, don't you? That simple, unconscious luring of us into betrayal establishes a divide between those who supposedly see the inductees and the lumpen nons, so-called lumpen nons, non-initiated, non-cultured, non-intellectual, non-coveted, non-welcomed, the excluded from grace, the grace that power offers. The very act establishes who is in, the intellectual, the citizen, and who is out, the mere hand, the barbarian.